St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the saint and mystic of the Sacred Heart, gives us an urgent warning that not only we may not be helping the souls in purgatory, but we may be actually doing things that are harming them. We're going to talk about that in today's video. Let's get right into it. Now that we affect each other, we can see that even in regular life, if someone doesn't take a shower for several days and sits very close to you, their decision affects your nose greatly. And the things that we do on our side of the earth can affect someone all the way on the other side, even if we don't understand this. Now we see this in the natural world. It's the same in the supernatural world, that the things we do and fail to do can affect other people spiritually, even the souls in purgatory. We know this at least in a passive way. When we fail to pray for them, we're harming them in that way. But I want to show you two visions, including St. Margaret Mary Alacoque's, that reveal that we can actively be harming them. Listen to the first one. A certain mother, inconsolable at the death of her only son, wept for his loss long and bitterly, without, however, helping him by those means which religion affords. To give her affection a useful direction, God sent her a vision. She beheld a procession of youths clad in white garments, enriched with various ornaments, and directing their joyous course towards a magnificent temple. This temple represented heaven. The white garments were the garb of faith, and the ornaments upon them were the works of charity. The bereaved mother, having her lost son unceasingly in her mind and heart, anxiously sought for him among this chosen band. But her searching glance could not discover him till all the rest had passed. She then beheld him, but clothed in a dark and sullied robe, and she saw that he advanced but slowly and with difficulty. This sad sight caused her tears to flow anew, and with a voice broken with sobs, she exclaimed, "Why, O my son, are you so sad and differ so much from your companions? Why do you remain so far behind?" The young man sorrowfully replied, "Mother, you see these mournful and sullied garments. Behold in them what your obstinate grief and tears for me produce. Your unreasonable grief weighs heavily upon me and impedes my progress. Ah, cease to abandon yourself to mere natural feelings, and if you truly love me, if you desire to see me happy, arouse your faith and aid me by works of faith and charity. Assist me by your pious suffrages, as is done by other mothers, not less affectionate, but more wise and more religious than you. Then I shall be enabled to join the happy company you have seen and attain to that heavenly bliss for which I long with such ardor." Without saying more, he disappeared, leaving his mother as eager to procure him spiritual help as before she had been remarkable for giving herself up to useless grief. Now, when you hear this story, there are very particular words that help us make a clear distinction. Now, this story isn't saying that we shouldn't grieve for those who have died, that we shouldn't feel things, especially for our loved ones, but that we can do so excessively and in ways that are useless, especially if we're only doing natural grieving and not thinking about the other person and praying for them using our faith. So grieving alone for those who have died is of no help to them. It really only helps us. If you think about it, it's selfish. It's just for you. It doesn't assist the other person, although it's something that we need to do to help us heal. But again, as even the soul there says, if we really love them, we will put some of our feelings aside to assist them through prayers, sacrifices, and suffrages or acts of charity. But that line really instructs us. Her unreasonable grief weighed heavily upon that soul in purgatory and impeded his progress. So you see two things: a passive harming impeding his progress, and an active harming. It actually weighed heavily upon him. So think about this. If you've ever been beside someone who's angry at you, haven't you ever felt that? Even though they didn't say a single word, their behavior and their emotions weighed heavily upon you. If this happens in the natural world in some way that I don't necessarily understand, but I see from this, in some way, we in the supernatural world affect them, those that are in purgatory, by the feelings that we have in some connection. As it here, this heavy weight that she had, her son felt it. So this is the first example of how, through our unreasonable, excessive emotions of grief, we can actually be harming a soul in purgatory. Now let's listen to what happened to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. I'll read a little bit before to give some context. He reproves me for them, imposing a penance upon me as he does for my other failings, for each of which there is a particular punishment in the purgatory wherein he purifies me, in order to make me less unworthy of his divine presence, of his communications and operations. For everything in me is done by him. Having on one occasion finished taking the discipline for the space of an Ave Maris Stella, as I had been ordered, he said to me, "This is my share," but as I still continued, he added, "and that is the devil's," which made me cease at once. Another time, when I was taking it for the holy souls in purgatory and wanted to exceed the permission given me, they immediately surrounded me, complaining that I was striking them. This made me resolve to die rather than overstep ever so little the limits imposed by obedience. He afterwards made me do penance for my fault. Now, these types of visions are exceedingly rare. The only two that I can think of where the person is causing some harm to the souls in purgatory. But since both of them show the same idea, that's why I wanted to present them to you. So this is her urgent warning that we can actually be harming the souls in purgatory. In the first example, with excessive grief, where we are then failing to pray for that particular soul. But in this example, it's when we're praying for them in disobedience against some superior. Okay, so now this opens up a whole can of worms, because most of us are lay people, and so obedience looks very different for us than for other people. So if you are a priest or religious, you must pray for the souls of purgatory within the bounds of obedience. Obedience will set limits. An example may be, okay, you pray for the souls in purgatory, but then it's time to stop because you have to celebrate Mass or because it's communal prayer time. So it sets a limit so that you are able to take care of the other things in your life, the other requirements. Obedience can serve a similar purpose for lay people. So although we should pray for the souls in purgatory as much as is possible, we shouldn't do that to the detriment of the calling of our vocation. So for instance, if you need to feed your child, you should stop praying for the souls in purgatory and feed your child. And in fact, you can offer that responsibility for the souls in purgatory. If you have to arrive at work at 9 a.m. and then work from 9 to 5 undistracted, you should stop praying for the souls in purgatory in order to not be late, and in fact, offer your punctuality for the souls in purgatory. So initially, this is just simply common sense, but sometimes it's good to state it out clearly. There may be other instances where, let's say, a boss or your husband or your wife or a child needs something of you and they make a reasonable request. Please, Dad or Mom, can you help me with this after you do what you're needing to do? And let's say that you're given a reasonable amount of time to pray, 30 minutes or an hour, and then you have to fulfill your responsibility. That would be an example of if you start crossing that line, the prayer that you're offering for them is no longer meritorious because now you're failing in your responsibility in order to fulfill something else. Whereas we should have everything well ordered. Let me summarize for you a few points on obedience from St. Francis de Sales, where he gives instructions to lay people. So first of all, we have our regular obedience to a boss, a superior, or some sort of legitimate authority in our work or our living situation or our country. We also have the obedience that is due to our bishop, our priest, and within our family structure, our father, our mother, our husband, or our wife. This is what would be called ordinary obedience. Now, even within that, we have to judge with prudence, asking the Holy Spirit to what is reasonable being asked of us. Outside of that, we can have voluntary obedience that's not required for our state. For instance, we may obtain a spiritual director. This isn't required of a layperson, and then we choose to be obedient to them. Of course, we pray for them for the Holy Spirit to guide them, and we dialogue with them, expressing them our desire. So for instance, you may have a spiritual director and you want to pray for rosaries, and they say, well, that seems reasonable given your state in life and the amount of children that you have in your work, etc., and all these things. That seems fine. Don't do more than that. Let's say that they say that and they're giving you a reasonable amount of time to pray. Overstepping that bounds would be harming the souls in purgatory in the way that St. Margaret Mary showcases. For others that do not have this luxury of having a spiritual director, how do we know if we're overstepping our bounds? Realize this: much of the reasons why souls are in purgatory is because they failed in their daily duties. To fulfill your daily duties and your daily responsibilities is not an impediment to help the souls in purgatory. It's actually the most effective way that you can help them on a regular basis, because you can offer up that daily responsibility for them making reparation. And if you're able to, you can pray at the same time in your heart. Granted, these being done, then set aside some reasonable amount of time. For most people, reasonable amount of time of prayer will be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. If you don't have a lot of children or you have a job that allows more freedom, then you can do a lot more. When you start pushing these boundaries, this is when it's helpful to have someone who is a spiritual director, often preferably a priest or someone else to guide you, to make sure that you are staying within what is helpful to you and fulfilling whatever is your vocation. In order that you may not become scrupulous about this issue, one general rule that I like to follow is I simply set a daily routine that fits within everything else that I have to do, and I repeat that each and every day. That way I'm not always wondering, what should I do today? How much should I offer today? Is this too much? Is this too little? I have it as what I would say, set it and forget it. Now within that, if I'm able to do a little bit more, I do it without any burden on my conscience. If I have to do a little bit less for one reason or another, I know that that may be okay as well. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in this so that you can pray for them in the most effective way. My friends, if this has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.